This broadcast concludes a series covering the effect on the world if everyone obeyed the Ten Commandments. They are the basis of God's law, and we have seen that many scriptures discuss them. God's commands are the universal standard, enabling us to know when we are on course and when we have drifted from it. But the world has been deceived, thinking this great law is burdensome and harsh and lacks love and mercy. The world ignores God's plain word. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Other broadcasts prove the Ten Commandments were never abolished. But you must learn why you should keep this marvelous living law of God and how the world would change and benefit if all peoples obeyed God's commands. We now examine the last four.
The World to Come. The Restored Church of God presents David C. Pack, author of 80 books and booklets, editor-in-chief of The Real Truth magazine, read by countless and growing numbers in every nation and territory of the world. In a violent age, full of bad news, answering life's greatest questions straight from the Bible and announcing the wonderful good news of the world to come. And now, David C. Pack.
We pick up spending extra time on the seventh commandment. You shall not commit adultery. This command was given to protect the honor and sanctity of marriage and, like the fifth commandment, it also protects the whole family unit. The world is now drenched in, actually drowning in, a deluge of sex, with most of it having no connection to any real meaning or right purpose. More than ever in history, all mankind is awash in every conceivable kind of sexual pleasure, fantasy, perversion, and pursuit, in or out of marriage, and with very few any longer making a distinction between the two. There is now no end to and virtually no limits on advertisements, television programs, movies, books, magazines, articles, photographs, and websites for every kind of pornography and sex-related activity the misguided creative genius of human beings could devise. The sexual revolution of the latter 20th century changed the entire world. Sex without boundaries became the norm. The advent of cable television and the internet, with its vast expanse of pornography and the ease with which adult videos can be obtained, have helped spread the mindset that all sex is good, no matter the circumstances. Barriers everywhere have dropped and are still falling, having neared complete collapse on all fronts. Seemingly, every day establishes new lows in immorality, perversion, debauchery, and anything goes when it comes to sexual habits and appetites. Experimentation and indulgence have become normal. Most today have come to believe that free sex of every conceivable kind, with the same or opposite sex, or both, is a simple matter of personal preference. There is now little concern about whether sexual activity is right or wrong. Vast millions believe that achieving sexual pleasure in any setting, for any purpose, and involving any kind of experimentation or activity, with any number of men and women included in a single sexual episode, is perfectly acceptable and is now almost seen as a kind of human right. By every older human standard and definition of morality, not to mention what God teaches, sexual values in the early 21st century are infinitely worse than a mere 50 years ago. Words like disgusting, sickening, shocking, and revolting come to mind when one looks across the world at what is now seen to be fine. Even the bestiality of ancient times is quietly reappearing. It is not too early to ask how soon before this perverse evil becomes tacitly accepted by society. God foretold that in the last days men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and without natural affection. In the age of gross materialism and rank hedonism, the three L's of leisure, luxury, and license have come to dominate the thinking of whole societies and nations. God is certainly not against enjoyment, which includes many kinds of pleasure. Obviously, sex ranks high among them. But God declares of our lascivious age that everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. The almost completely forgotten seventh commandment prohibiting adultery is routinely ignored by vast numbers who then, as professing Christians, go to church as though their conduct is of no consequence in God's sight. As one preacher put it, most people sow wild oats all week and then go to church on Sunday to pray for a crop failure. The Bible brims with scriptures describing the sexual wrong conduct and thinking seen everywhere today. God pulls no punches in labeling it sin. Adultery is rampant in all Western nations, with over 80% of American households experiencing it, being committed by one or both mates. The enormous suffering connected just to illicit sex by married people is staggering to consider. At what point will 95 or even 100% of couples no longer be faithful in marriage? But conditions have gone far beyond simple adultery. The very worst kinds of perversion and sick, degenerate practices in modern society cannot even be discussed. The Bible actually prohibits this. It is a shame, it declares, even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. The very worst things happening in the sexual arena throughout society are necessarily excluded in this broadcast. Many modern societies have been forced by militant social radicals to embrace political correctness. This permits all people to live whatever lifestyle, including alternative ones, they choose, as long as they can rationalize that it doesn't hurt anyone else. Such tolerance was never known before this age. Everything people do is now accepted with little question. The arrival of computers and the internet have spawned and helped perpetuate this era of tolerance. Pleasure and betterment for self are the main goals and hopes of most people. Great numbers argue that if they are only hurting themselves, they should have the right to experiment and enjoy whatever they please. But is all this self-indulgence leading toward real betterment of lives? Absolutely not. The world has been ignorant of the true purposes of sex. The result has been untold suffering for the masses. The misery is measured in disease, the warping effect of perversion, unwanted pregnancies, abortions, illegitimate children, skyrocketing divorce rates, which produce jumbled families, bankruptcies, court battles, and crime. Conditions grow worse and more complicated with each new generation, compounding the evils of the previous one. Tragedy, unhappiness, and confusion about sex and marriage have afflicted every nation of the world for thousands of years, and people have not known where to turn for answers. The solutions to so many ill effects now running rampant. Those who will not accept God's revealed word are left with no choice but to be ignorant of how and when marriage began and the purposes of sex. You must either accept that marriage is a human invention on the road of evolution or the falsehood of religion, that it is for no purpose beyond procreation. With either, the marvelous answers available in God's word to the great questions of marriage and sex remain shrouded in mystery. We offer a wide variety of literature on marriage, sex, dating, and courtship. Consider starting with Sex, Its Unknown Dimension, and then read You Can Build a Happy Marriage. A question repeats itself. What if the whole world kept the seventh commandment? First, adultery would disappear. Everyone would consider the long-term consequences of his actions. Most television programs and movies would have to rewrite the scripts. Advertising would have to sell everything from wrenches to tires without the automatic sex pitch. So would magazines. The internet's biggest moneymaker and fastest growing business, pornography, would collapse. There would be no more prostitution, strip clubs, adult theaters, exotic sex shops, or escort services. With adulterous affairs ceasing, drastically affecting the divorce rate, millions of children would have happier lives. Illegitimate births and sexually transmitted diseases would end. Suggestive clothing would no longer exist, and the list goes on. All these changes and more will be implemented in Christ's coming millennial utopia, when Satan's influence will be gone. Next, God thundered the eighth commandment, "You shall not steal." Obeying this command is to respect the property and possessions of others. It is how people are to conduct business. God's way is honesty, fairness, and justice in all dealings, including every facet of finances and accounting. God views stealing as an act of deception or lying. Leviticus classifies stealing as, "You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. You shall not defraud your neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not even abide with you all night until the morning." God's laws protect those who, through hard work, seek to make an honest living. Violators of his law were to be punished with swift justice, thus instilling fear in potential thieves and scam artists. As part of this punishment, God required that the thief pay more than the original value of what was taken. The amount was to be set by judges, but in some cases was set in law. Notice how this was applied. "If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep." Thieves were at great risk in Israel because they forfeited any protection of their lives under the law. "If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him." God's laws protected and benefited the victim. Modern laws tend to favor the perpetrator, the one often portrayed as the victim. We are today far away from God's way of justice. In ancient Israel, the penalty for stealing people, kidnapping, was death. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel and makes merchandise of him or sells him, slavery, then that thief shall die, and you shall put evil away from among you. God allowed no loopholes for liberal judges or lawyers so rampant today. The penalty for kidnapping or any other transgression was fixed and non-negotiable. Everyone knew exactly what was at stake when he considered committing a crime. Although capital punishment is now viewed as harsh by most, in Israel it served as a deterrent against crime. God reveals this is how a nation removes evil from spreading. When God condemned Israel or Judah for wickedness, stealing was usually listed first among sins. Notice Jeremiah. "You trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, 'We are delivered,'" meaning we're permitted to do all these abominations? Most who attend the big denominations consider themselves delivered to do as they please. They're allowed to break the laws of God with impunity. They believe righteousness is strictly imputed to them through grace, regardless of conduct. The Apostle Paul directly states that grace is not a license to sin while claiming immunity. Again, look at the big picture. If the entire world kept the eighth commandment, if all people never stole, huge changes would result. Locks and locksmiths would no longer be needed. Signs would denote privacy. Armored cars would be obsolete, as would security guards. Theft-related homicides would stop, and there would be no need for burglar alarms. Prices in department and discount stores would drop a lot due to removing the built-in cushions that cover the cost of shoplifting, called shrinkage. Home, car, and business insurance would also drop significantly. Businesses would be more equitable and diligent to pay workers for work done. Labor unions would not be needed since workers and employers would be cooperating in a spirit of equity. The elderly would no longer have to guard against scam artists who specialize in wiping out their life savings. Bribery, extortion, and white-collar theft would no longer exist. The world would be a very different place without stealing and robbery. In such a world, instead of the way of get, the give way, rich in benefits, would predominate. Now God's ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. This command condemns all lying and deception, every form of it. This includes outright lying, false advertising, slander, shading the truth, even exaggerating as well as false testimony in a courtroom. Justice can only be based on truth. Truth extends far beyond judicial proceedings. It embodies the very character of God, all that He is and does. God's character is so perfect, but also so powerful, that He literally cannot lie. Those are His words. He wants all mankind to learn the value of truth in every aspect of life. Christians must follow God's Spirit. Howbeit, when it, the Spirit of truth, is come, it will guide you into all truth. Jesus prayed, sanctify them, true Christians, through your truth. Your word is truth. The future apostle Thomas asked, how can we know the way? Jesus replied, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God the Father and Christ personify truth. In contrast, notice the devil's way. In John's gospel, Jesus condemned the Pharisees who refused to accept His word. You are of your father the devil, He said, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in Him. When He speaks a lie, He speaks of His own, for He is a liar and the father of it. This passage explains why false religion, engineered and orchestrated by Satan, is deeply embodied in deceit. Every entity that opposes God's way operates on the principles of treachery, deceit, and falsehood, the antithesis of truth. A passage containing one of the Bible's greatest truths is about truth. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. They didn't yet, because just believing on Jesus was not enough. And the truth shall make you free. The Jews felt they were already free. Jesus explained they were actually servants of sin. So is anyone who sins as a way of life. One of the greatest qualities a Christian can have is the desire to seek the truth. As one speaks the truth and exerts effort to live by the truth, he will come to acknowledge the truth when corrected. When one does this, no matter his weaknesses and imperfections, God can easily work with him like clay in a potter's hands. To grow and develop, one must become and remain anchored to the truth. Christians must control the tendency to lie and exaggerate the truth. The Apostle Paul taught, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, and lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. To overcome the natural inclination to lie, one must see its futility and the danger of its consequences. God's Spirit and obedience to His laws will help you overcome this. Here is the ultimate fate of all who will not stop lying. The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Yet again, the same big question. What if the world obeyed the ninth commandment? First, there would be no more lying. There would be no more propaganda from politicians and world leaders. Everyone could believe every word of the news as well as from advertisements. Exaggerations, distortions, and half-truths would give way to the full truth. Every conversation and every business dealing would be honest, void of all forms of deceit. Slander and character assassination would cease because people would be known for what they truly are instead of how slander and gossip portrays them. People would no longer put up false fronts. Con men and scam artists would disappear. Here is what is foretold to occur starting at Christ's return. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, meaning generous. Many liberals today are wonderfully generous with other people's money. God calls them vile. Nor the churl, meaning crude or selfish, said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, lawlessness, to practice hypocrisy. Finally, God thunders the 10th commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is your neighbor's. The Hebrew word covet means to desire or lust for something pleasant or of precious value. It is easy to see why God does not want anyone desiring someone else's wife or house. But what about the other things he lists? Although a manservant was a bondman or servant of the owner, he was often more than a common laborer. He may have been a skilled supervisor of other servants and of sizable herds or flocks owned by his master. The maidservant may have been an irreplaceable manager of many functions of a home, like tutoring or weaving fabric for clothing. The value of such servants was great. They could make the difference in a successful household. The value of an ox was also significant. Large and powerful, oxen were usually put in teams to pull wagons or plows, and the beef from such a large animal was valuable. The ass was another valuable animal and a tireless worker. Larger than donkeys, but smaller than horses, asses were more commonly used in Israel than other animals, such as mules, which were of hybrid breeding and forbidden. See Leviticus 19 and verse 19. The last thing mentioned is anything that is your neighbor's. This covers everything else. The New Testament speaks to coveting. Paul asked, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, 'You shall not covet.'" He added, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Most do not think of the Ten Commandments as spiritual in nature, but rather as do's and don'ts, the letter of the law. But they are much more. Jesus magnified the commandment against killing to show that anyone who even harbors hatred for another is guilty of murder. He also showed that any who even lusts after a woman is guilty of adultery. Jesus expanded the letter of the law to include control of thoughts, the innermost being, or the heart. The 10th command is unique. It deals with the thoughts of people and spiritual thinking toward physical things. For example, anyone can obey the 8th commandment by just not stealing, but the 10th commandment forbids even thinking about stealing, and of course just desiring things that belong to someone else. Satan, as God of this world and the prince of the power of the air, broadcasts his attitudes, such as coveting. Human beings are naturally tuned in to the attitudes of the devil's wavelength. Only with God's Holy Spirit can you develop the self-control to tune them out. Here is how Paul cautioned those seeking to overcome their human nature. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becomes saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Coveting is serious. Solomon warned men, "Lust not after her beauty in your heart, neither let her take you with her eyelids." All actions spring from thoughts. We are what we think. Carefully read all of Psalm 119 and ask God to help you appreciate what He appreciates. This is why King David meditated upon God's perfect law. He sought to think like God thinks. Paul also wrote, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Overcoming means literally bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Other broadcasts cover the process of overcoming and preventing sin in the first place in a more thorough way. We now ask the same question of the final commandment. What if the whole world kept the 10th commandment and completely stopped coveting? With no more lust, all idolatry and adultery would cease. But this would be just the beginning. Lust-driven consumerism would disappear, and with it, consumer debt and bankruptcy. More people would drive affordable vehicles instead of going into debt to buy what appeals to lustful vanity and pride. In short, materialism and impulse buying would vanish, as would the resulting credit card debt. The entire world will soon learn that only with the help of God's Spirit can men and women successfully control lust and keep the 10th commandment and all other commandments. Theologians and supposed Bible scholars find no end of ingenious ways to dismiss as obsolete the marvelous laws of God. Most ministers admit keeping the 10 commandments is generally a good idea, but stress they are not required to receive salvation. Again, our free book, The 10 Commandments Nailed to the Cross or Required for Salvation, will open your eyes. Now the greatest question. What if all nations kept all 10 commandments? What if everyone obeyed Christ's instruction to keep this entire law? People would no longer idolize anything or anyone because they would put the true God first. His name would no longer be misused or carelessly thrown around. Everyone would keep the Sabbath on the right day, the seventh day of the week. Families would be happier because people would both honor their physical parents and their spiritual father in heaven. There would be no more hatred, killing, or war. Husbands and wives would be faithful to each other and all illegitimate births would cease. So would sexually transmitted diseases. There would be no more thefts, robberies, or embezzlements. Slander, perjury, and gossip would be things of the past. People would not lust for anything that belongs to someone else. Our free book, Tomorrow's Wonderful World, An Inside View, presents the full picture of this coming world straight from your Bible. Request your copy today. Jesus described conditions that would precede his second coming, saying that iniquity or lawlessness shall abound, and that the result would be the love of many shall grow cold. But soon after, the whole world will keep God's law, the Ten Commandments. In the meantime, you don't have to wait to do this. You can do it now and enjoy the benefits now. Until next time, this is David C. Pack saying goodbye, friends.
This program was made available by Restored Church of God members and donors from around the globe. Explore our vast library of literature and other World to Come programs, which are all made available free of charge. To order literature featured in this program, call toll-free 1-855-828-4646. That number again, 1-855-828-4646.